Throughout our time of Advent, the four Sundays of Advent, here at Christ Presbyterian Church, we've been studying a series of sermons we call Merry Christmas from the Old Testament Prophets. And every Sunday during Advent, we've looked at one of these obscure prophecies about Jesus. And we've called them the ancient Christmas cards from the prophets. Prophets that we know their names, we just haven't read these particular verses and thought of Jesus. And we come to another one of those obscure prophecies and another obscure prophet when we come to the book of Haggai. And if you want to know where that is, you can find it in your pew Bible. It's on page 791 if you'd like to read this text with us. Haggai chapter 2, and I'll read verses 6 through 7 and then verse 9. Here is a forgotten, obscure promise about something that would happen in the city of Bethlehem in the time we call Christmas. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake the nations so that the treasures of all the nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Now, as I read those words, I don't know if you were listening for these specific things, but there were four key words in that ancient prophecy written in the year 520 BC. The word house or temple, the word shake, the word peace, and the word glory. And every one of those words has a whole lot to do with the miracle we call the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to show you that for just a few minutes before we share communion together. The book of Haggai was written long, long time ago, after the exile, after Israel had come back from Babylon. They were home, and yet their city and their temple were in ruins. The people were experiencing poverty and a lack of material blessings, and there was national and personal anxiety and spiritual emptiness. They were home, but it wasn't like home. It was all destroyed, having been destroyed in 586 by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And so while they're home, they're not happy. They are still orphaned, as it were. They still are not awake spiritually. There's a great spiritual depression that's come over the people. They're not happy. And so God raised up a prophet to give them a message. The Lord sent His word to people in need, and He promised through Haggai what He alone would do. And He gives a promise not only for that generation that Haggai and the other post-exilic prophets lived in, but He gives a promise for you. Because the world that we inhabit tonight is not at all unlike the world that ancient Israel knew after the exile. And they're wondering about the future. And there is an anxious longing in every heart for something better, something deeper. And there is uncertainty about the future, and there is pain in their souls. They remember what it was like before their city and their temple was destroyed. And so they are not at rest. There is no peace. They are troubled. The world that they inhabited was a very troubled world. Enemies on every front, and so it is on this very night here in 2019. And here is a message for you that has everything to do with the baby in Bethlehem. When our Lord came, He began His ministry, according to the Gospel of John, by going to the city of Jerusalem and doing the unthinkable. He went to the temple, the holy site, the temple. Now, this is the temple that had been rebuilt after the destruction of 586. This was Solomon's temple, the great temple. And He went to that temple, and He saw money changers in the temple courts. He saw them buying and selling and actually taking money from the people, actually engaging in unethical business practices there in the temple precincts. And so you know the story. Our Lord went to the temple, and He saw all the money changers and the animals being sold, and He took out a whip And he began to drive the animals out of the temple. And John says he went to the tables where the money changers were doing their dastardly deeds. And he turned those tables over and coins went everywhere. He made a big mess. And he said, stop making my Father's house a house of merchandise. He cleansed the temple. And right after that, something happened that has everything to do with the prophecy from Haggai that we just read. In John chapter 2, the Jews said to him, that is, the Jewish authority said to him, what sign do you show us that you do these things? In other words, who gives you the right to come and tear up our temple? And here's what Jesus said, and it's remarkable. He said, destroy, and look at my hands, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said to him, it's taken us 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days? And then John the apostle writes these words, but he was speaking about the temple of his body. And so that glorious renewed temple that Haggai and the other prophets saw 6 and 7 centuries before Jesus was born, that temple was born in Bethlehem. That temple is not a building, it's a person. In the old covenant, the temple was the place that God met with sinners. And in the new covenant, the temple isn't a building, it's a person born in Bethlehem. And then I thought that you should think about with me the word shake. Haggai promised that there would not only be someone coming and bringing a new temple, but the shaking of the universe would occur when he came. We move forward in the life of Jesus. We come to the very end of his life. And in Matthew 27, we read the events of the crucifixion. Jesus was affixed between two thieves. He was crucified as a criminal. Matthew tells us that he breathed his last and he died. And then these words, upon the death of Jesus, behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook. The earth shook and the rocks were split. And so when the Son of God died on the cross, the man who claimed to be the temple, the meeting place between God and man, when he died, the earth shook. And Matthew is the only gospel writer who records an incredible thing that happened. In fact, it just perplexes the scholars who read this. Something extraordinary happened. Jesus died. The earthquake occurred. And Matthew tells us that tombs were opened up in the city of Jerusalem. And many saints, many believers in the Messiah were resurrected that day. The earth shook, just like Haggai had said so many centuries before. And so we have the temple, and we have a shaking. We have another shaking at the resurrection in Matthew 28. On that Sunday morning, the Bible says, behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and he sat on it. And so an earthquake when he died, an earthquake when he was resurrected. And the word of the prophet that was pointing to Christmas, pointing to the birth of the Messiah, it comes true exactly as God had foretold. A temple and a great shaking. And then think about the word peace. The prophet Haggai spoke of this great Messiah coming and bringing peace. On that same resurrection Sunday that we talked about, according to John, on the evening of that day, John 20, verse 19, the first day of the week, the disciples were in fear for what might happen to them. Their Lord had been crucified, his body gone. The Romans are after them. What are they going to do? They hide. They're hiding, literally hiding in a house. They don't know what the Romans and the Jewish authorities are going to do to them. They don't know where Jesus is. And on that very evening, they're hiding behind four walls. And John tells us Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. And when he had said this, John says, he showed them his hands and his side. And his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And then Jesus, in verse 21 of John 20, again said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you peace. Just like Haggai had declared. And then think of the word glory. Because Haggai said, there's going to come a new temple, and the glory of this new temple will far outstrip the glory of the one that the Babylonians destroyed. And he was not just talking about the rebuilding of Solomon's temple. He was looking past the glory of Solomon's temple even to another temple. The book known as Revelation, the last book of the Bible, gives us a vision of heaven. And listen to this incredible vision. As John, the one who wrote the Gospels, the very apostle, the very disciple of Jesus, as he sees heaven in this vision, here's what he describes. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne of God in worship, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might to our God forever. And then in Revelation 21, the vision continues, and listen to these words. John says, in that great heavenly city, there is no temple, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. Do you see that? The glorious Lamb of God, the temple. The one whose coming, whose death, whose resurrection shook the universe. The one and only one who can give peace to this lost and fractured world. And the one who has the very glory of God. For he is God incarnate and he is the temple. And so what happened in Bethlehem? A temple, a meeting place, was established between a holy God and sinful people. And only there can they meet. And so we always think about Christmas being a miracle. It was God becoming man. But another miracle perhaps needs to happen in your heart tonight, and that is that you believe that he came for you to give you peace with God, to allow you to know God despite your sins. And that maybe tonight the greatest gift you could receive would be the gift of everlasting life for all who look to Jesus and say, I believe you came for me because of me, that you lived and died on the cross for my sins and you rose again for my justification, and I believe. And he will be born not just in Bethlehem, but in your heart. And you can say, his name is Emmanuel, not only God with us, but God with me. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word, the word of the prophets. And we thank you that every word you've spoken and every word you've written is absolutely true. And we've seen the evidence of it tonight, that all the promises you made so long ago about the beloved day we call Christmas have indeed happened. And we thank you, Father, that you have been telling us the Christmas story even since the days of creation, when you promised Adam and Eve that one day a man would be born who would take away the sins of the world. And now bless us, Father, to believe this story, to believe your word, and to find our peace only in him. Father, we come and we confess that our world is a mess. Our lives are often a mess. And there is no peace. But only in you do we find rest, and hope. And may we look to Jesus, who truly is the only reason for any celebration this season. May we look to Him, and may we trust Him, and may we believe He's the one that was prophesied so long ago, and the one who came, and the one who came for us. In Jesus' name, amen.